Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm excited to have the opportunity to share with you. I'm always nervous, but that's good. That means it's not me, it's God working through me. Today's message starts with a conversation that I was having with some of my kids. We have youth group, as most of you guys know, and we meet down there, and we've been giving some of the youth more opportunities to be able to share. And I was encouraging, sometimes we say that our kids volunteer, and sometimes they're voluntold, and we were almost voluntelling our kids, hey, this is your chance to be able to stand up and be able to give a message at youth group someday. And so we were having this discussion with some of the kids and just saying how important it is, and they were talking about, yeah, but I'm not good enough, that's not me, that's not what I can do, and all these different excuses of just not being able to stand up and do that. And the phrase that came to mind when they were talking was that sometimes stepping out is stepping in. Sometimes stepping out is stepping in. And that's what I felt like God like literally lay on my heart right then for my kids. And I told them that. I said, guys, sometimes stepping out of your comfort zone, stepping out of the known, of the familiar, sometimes stepping out of those hard places is stepping in to where God wants you to be. Stepping into something that you might be afraid of, stepping into something that you don't know all the answers and don't have the whole puzzle laid out in front of you, but you're stepping into something that is good because it's what God has for you. And the more I thought about it, I just was like, wow, that's not just for them, that's for me. That's not just for me, that's for all of us here, that sometimes there comes a point in our life that we need to learn to be able to step out so we can step in to what God has for us. And that's what I want to share with you today, about how we need to step out, that stepping out is stepping in. And so let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you for, Lord, that time of worship, that praise and worship, Lord, just being able to connect with you. We do thank you, Lord, that we can have this opportunity to draw into your presence, to be with you, Lord. We thank you for that song that Natalie just performed, Lord Jesus, just glorifying you. You are the way maker, the promise keeper. Lord, you make all things possible. And Lord, we thank you that you have called us to step out so we can step into you. We can step into what you have for us. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would give me the words to speak. Lord, you would give us open ears, open hearts to hear your word, to hear your message. And that we could run with it, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. Stepping out is stepping in. Today's main passage is found in Matthew chapter 14. Chris, if you want to turn there, Matthew 14. It's a story of when Jesus walked on the water to his disciples. Anybody ever hear that story before? Remember Jesus literally walking on the water? It's a story of Jesus walking on the water to disciples. And we're going to pick it up in verse 22. So Matthew 14, verse 22. And it goes like this. It says, immediately afterward, this is when he had already been talking to a bunch of people, basically speaking the parables to them. And it says, immediately afterward, he, being Jesus, compelled the disciples to get into the boat and to go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage, it is I. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter responded and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he, being Jesus, said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And when he began to sink, literally sink in the water, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and took a hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are truly God's son." It's an incredible story, incredible passage of God doing the miraculous, of God calling us out, of God telling us, hey, you need to step out in faith. It's a story of telling us that sometimes we need to be willing to step out, because stepping out is stepping in. Stepping out is stepping into something greater than we have by ourselves or in ourselves. Stepping out, even when it feels scary or uncertain, is actually stepping in to a place of complete surrender and even the miraculous. And that's what I want to share with you today. Stepping out of the boat and into a place of complete surrender. Stepping out of the boat and into the miraculous. But before we get to what stepping out of the boat brings, I want to first talk about what the boat is. What is the boat? What is your boat? In Peter's case, the boat was a place of safety, comfort, and familiarity. Peter's trade or occupation was that of a fisherman. In fact, the first time Peter met Jesus, where was it? It was at his boat. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he, being Jesus, said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people,'" fishers of men. "Immediately they left their nets," immediately they left their nets and followed him. Most of Peter's life had been spent in the boat. It was where he made his livelihood. It was something he understood, something he knew how to control. He could control that boat. He knew where to take it. Most of the time, where to take it for good fish. Other stories we found out, maybe Jesus knew a little bit better. But he knew where to go. He knew where to fish. He knew how to do it. He knew how to handle the boat, whether it was stormy or not, where they should go. It was something he was familiar with, something he was comfortable with. So when Jesus called Peter to step out of the boat and walk on the water, Jesus was calling him to step out of a known place of safety, of comfort, and familiarity. In the same way, that boat, the boat, symbolizes that safety for us, that comfort, that familiar place in our lives. Stepping out of the boat means we are stepping out of our comfort zone. Stepping out of the boat means that we are stepping out of our safe place, where we know how things work, where we know how things go along, what we're comfortable, what we're safe with. It's not that it's a bad place to be, it's just that God wants to call us further. In fact, many times, our boat that we are in, for many of you, the boat you're in right now, that's a good place. It's a place that God's placed you. He's put you in that place. Back in Matthew 14, verse 22, our key passage, verse 22, it says, "He," being Jesus, "compelled the disciples to get into the boat and to go ahead of him to the other side." Who told Peter to get in that boat? Jesus did. He told him to. He compelled him. He told his disciples, get on the boat and start going off. He didn't say, hey, get in the boat and wait on the shore for me, because he knew what was going to happen. He said, get in the boat and start going to the other side. He told them what they do, and they responded. They listened. They obeyed. Our boat is often a place God has already called us or even compelled us to be. But Jesus doesn't want us to bring us to a boat and leave us there forever. He wants to continually take us deeper and further in our relationship, in our faith in him, in our trust in him, in our perseverance in him. He wants to take us further so our potential just continues to grow. He'll place us in a boat, and then he wants us to get out of the boat and just put our trust in him at times. He might even take us back to that same boat. If that whole passage at the end, it says what? Peter stepped out of the boat. He started walking. Then he started sinking. Then Jesus picked him back up. And what happens? He brought him back to the boat. God doesn't mean say, hey, step out of the boat and say, you're never going to go back there again. He might want to bring you back there. Whether it's here at church, he might say, hey, you're doing great. You're coming to church. You're connected. But hey, I want you to step out in this area of your life. Or I want you to step out the rest of the week, not just on Sundays. I'm going to bring you back to this place of safety. I'm going to bring you back to this place. But be willing to step out when I say come. Jesus said come, and Peter went. When Jesus says come to you, are you willing to step out of the boat? Are you willing to come? He has called us to follow him. And even if we've followed him on the boat we're currently on, we need to be willing to continue following him when he calls us out of the boat. Even if it means leaving our safety, our comforts, even if it means it's going to cost us something, even if it means stepping out into the unknown. And that brings me to my first point today. Stepping out of the boat is stepping in to complete surrender. Stepping out of the boat is stepping into something so great. It's complete surrender. And you're like, why is surrender so great? It is because when you surrender yourself to God, when you say, it's not me anymore, it's you, when you step out that boat and you don't have anything to cling on, the only one that can save you is him. And guess what? He's pretty good at saving people. When you step out of that boat in complete surrender, you get to begin to experience who he really is. You get to begin to see how great and awesome a God we love and follow. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he was stepping into complete surrender. Jesus told him to come, and it says Peter immediately stepped out of the boat. He didn't wait. The moment he stepped out of the boat, he gave up the security and the safety of that boat. He surrendered his control he had over the situation. How often is it hard for us to surrender that control? We like to be in control. We like to know how things are going or what's going to happen or what's going to take place. Yeah, I'll help you this much as long as I can make sure this and this and this are lined up. He surrendered any control he had over the situation. He surrendered what he knew and what he was familiar with. He no longer had the boat to rely on for safety or security. Are you willing to step out of that boat and realize that, you know what, the moment I step out, I no longer have this boat for safety. I no longer have this security that I'm used to. Maybe whether it's a good or bad place you're at, I don't have this. I have nothing to cling on to except for my eyes fixed on Jesus. Nothing to cling on to but him. It's not me. It's him. We needed to be willing to do the same. He was stepping out of the security and safety of the boat and stepping into the unknown. When Christ bids us come, when Christ tells us to come, we need to be willing to step out of the boat and step in to complete surrender. This involves giving up control of the situation. We need to be willing to relinquish total control and give it fully over to him. Now, this is a process, I know. And that's why so many times we step out and God brings us back. So many times we might step out like Peter did. And what happened to Peter? He took a few steps and what happened? He started sinking, right? And what happened? Jesus pulled him right back out. And that's okay. And you might step out of the boat and fall right on your face. You might step out one step and just fall straight down to the bottom. But Jesus is going to be there to pull you back up. When we step out, God meets us. When you step out in complete surrender, Jesus is there. We need to be willing to do the same. This means less of me and more of him. I don't know about you, but for me, giving up complete control is not, it's not a super easy task. I like to be in control. I mean, doesn't matter what we're doing. If we're driving, I like to be driving and holding onto the wheel. My kids, I've had three of them now that are learning. Estelle's currently learning right now. And so many times I'll get in the car and she's like, oh, Dad, can I drive? I'm like, sure. And so I have to get out of the car and let her get in the car and drive. And she's a great driver. She's probably safer than I am. Just yesterday, we were heading off to visit a college, for her to do a college visit, and I get in the car, and I'm like, okay, and she didn't ask, thankfully, and we start driving down the road, and it was probably, I don't know, 300-400 yards down the road, and she says, Dad, and I realize that, hey, I'm in the middle of the road, and there's a car coming at me, so I swerved out, and she's correcting me. So yeah, she's probably a little bit safer than I am, because I get, you know, distracted at times, but, you know, I like to have that control in my life. Driving is just one of them, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. I like to be in control. We like to be in control. A couple weeks ago, Esther and I celebrated our 20th year wedding anniversary. So big clap. 20 years of being married to my beautiful wife. And one of the things we did is we went out to the Poconos. We had a little mini getaway. We went to the Poconos. And one of the things that she really wanted to do was to go to a water park. I was like, really, a water park? Sure, that sounds fun, but our 20-year anniversary? I was like, I guess we'll do it now because in another 20 years, we're probably not going to make it through the water park. So we went to the water park. We went up to Kalahari for the day. We got day passes there. And while they're there, if you've ever been there before, it's just a huge indoor water park with tons and tons of different slides and things you can go on. Well, one of the slides they had is the really, really high. When you go all the way up, you go up a bunch of flights of stairs. You keep going and going and going and going. And I don't know about you, but I don't really like heights. It's not that I'm terrified. I don't like them. We'll just put it that way. So I'll go up there. But when I'm up there, I'm looking down like, yeah, that's really far. Why am I even up here? But I went up there to the top. And at the top of this thing, one of their highest slides was this slide that basically they open up this container. You step into it, and there's a floor. And it's like, okay, this is safe. But what happens is the floor opens up from underneath you, and then you drop. But it gets better. When you walk in to this little thing, it's like a glass coffin, like where you're going to die, basically. They open it up. You literally stand in there, and they close this glass door. So they probably said they could see your face to make sure, watch your face as you scream and yell and all that stuff. But they close you in, and you're standing here in this little tube, this little glass coffin, and you're standing there. And our attendant, who was in charge of pushing the button or pulling the lever and all that stuff, she apparently really enjoyed her job because she's standing here and we're waiting in line and we're watching other people go in first and right before us. And every time they'd go up, she would just kind of tease them like, oh, I'm going to push it. Oh. And it's right behind, so you can't really see. And she just messed with the people. We're getting closer and closer. Esther's with me. I said, do you want to go? She said, I'm not going on that. And I'm like, okay, well, I think I'm going to try. So I go in. And sure enough, she closes the door, smiles. I was like, okay, this is nice. When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And she just waits. And she waits. Because she knows I'm like, I'm going to do this. And she just keeps on waiting. So she looks in. She says, are you ready? I said, yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead. And I'm just waiting. And she waits. And she waits. And she waits. And eventually she pushes it. And boom, the floor goes out from underneath you. And you just drop to your death. And, no, you drop down the side. And you fly down. And you literally have no control. The moment she pushes that button, I can't control when it pushes. When she pushes that button, it opens up and you just drop. Sounds a lot of fun, doesn't it? But you completely drop and you go through this twist and fly down and the whole slide lasts like 5 seconds. You wait 10 minutes to go through 5 seconds. But anyways, you go all through this and you have literally no control over the situation. You get to the bottom and guess what? I stand up. Like Esther was like, how was it? It's like, it was scary. Let's do it again. And then I want to go do it again. And that's kind of what it is like with God. You know, it seems really scary to step off the boat. It's really scary to be up there and be like, you know what? God's calling me off this boat. I can't walk on water, but he's calling me to walk on water. And you do it and you take that step. God's going to meet you and it's going to be something rewarding. When we step out of that boat in total surrender, where it's like, you know what? It's not me. It's going to be okay. God is in control. God, you've got this. He rewards us. He blesses us. He loves on us in those situations. When we give up control and step into complete surrender, we experience the unexpected, and it is good. Much in the same way, we need to be willing to relinquish control to God. We need to be willing to step out of the boat and step into complete surrender. In the boat, we still feel like we have some sense of control. We can maybe paddle to safety, or maybe have a motorboat. You could motor to safety, whatever the case may be. But you still feel like you have some sense of control while you're in that boat. Maybe if the water gets rough, you can just grab the sides, you can hold on, and you have some semblance of control. even in the midst of the storm, when you are in the safety of your boat, we can still have control, or at least feel like we have some control over the situation we are in. But when we step out of that boat and into complete surrender, we give up our control. You see, there's a big difference. We're giving up our control. It's not that the situation is just like let go completely. We're giving up our control because we're allowing God to be in control. We're saying this control that I have, this boat I'm holding on to, these things I'm holding on to, God, I'm going to step out and say, you've got this. I'm going to take a step of faith and say, God, I want to completely surrender to you. You are in control. We give up our comfort and our security and have to rely completely on him. As followers of Christ, we need to come to that place in our lives of complete and total surrender. And this complete surrender should encompass every aspect of our lives. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge or submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. The key word I want to point out here is what? The word all. Complete surrender involves trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, not just part of your heart. Complete surrender involves submitting all your ways, not just some of your ways. Look at yourself. Look at your life right now. Look at the boat you're in. Are you willing to step out of the boat and surrender all your ways to him? Or are you just going to step, maybe just touch the water with one foot, keep the other foot in there, maybe even jump in the water, but just hold on to the edge? Or are you willing to go all in? Are you ready to surrender all of your heart, all of your ways to him? We need to come to the place where we aren't holding anything back. We're giving over complete control to God. Matthew 14, verse 29, our key passage, verse 29, it says, and he said, he being Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. It doesn't say Peter grabbed a life jacket before he stepped out. Doesn't say he tied a rope around his waist and said, hey, disciples, hey, guys, can you just hold on to this rope? Like, he's going to really trust him, but can you hold on to this rope when I go out here, just in case Jesus is just messing with me? He stepped out of the boat and stepped into complete surrender. He didn't hesitate. He didn't wait. God said, come. Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out. How did Peter do this? He did this because why? Because of faith. Because he had faith in Jesus Christ. Because he said, this is Jesus. And Jesus said, come, so I'm going to come. When Jesus says to you, come, are you going to come? Are you going to step out of the boat? In the same way, in order for us to take that step of faith and step into complete surrender, we need to have our eyes fixed on who? On Jesus Christ. Peter was able to step out in faith because he knew Christ was calling him. He knew Jesus was faithful in the past, and it gave him the faith to step out of the boat. He knew that Jesus was real. He had proved himself again and again. And he said, you know what? I'm going to step out of the boat. As Christians, we can have this same confidence to know that Christ is there for us in every situation. Now realize Peter here. This is Peter who had just met Jesus not that long ago. And he's willing to risk his life for this guy because he saw who he was. Because he saw he was the Son of God. And here's us thousands of years later. And we know that Jesus not only proved himself again and again, not only fulfilled so many hundreds and thousands of prophecies in the Bible, but we know he died upon the cross for our sins. He died upon the cross for you and I.
how much more so, even more than Peter, when we get that in our head, when we get that in our heart, when we get that and just understand that, when he says, come, we should come. When he says, walk on the water, we need to be willing to walk on the water. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 3 says this, but now this is what the Lord says, he who is your creator, Jacob, and he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, kind of like Peter here, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is God. When we pass through the waters, his word says he will be with us. He will be with you. For he is the Lord our God. When you step off that boat in total surrender, God is promising you he is going to be there with you. When he says come and you come, he is there. He's got you. It was proved with Peter when he pulled him back out of the water. It's been proved within your life again and again. If you just stop and think, how many times has God called you and failed you? Has he? No, because when he calls you and you come, he is there. When he calls us, we need to come. When we pass through the waters, he will be there. We need to be willing to step out of the boat in complete surrender. And this brings me to my second point. Stepping out of the boat is stepping in to the miraculous. When we are willing to step out of the boat and into complete surrender, we are able to step out of the boat and into the miraculous. Stepping out of the boat is stepping into something amazing. It's stepping into what God has for us. It's stepping into what God wants to amaze us with. Peter didn't just get to witness that miracle, did he? Peter was able to take part in that miracle. I mean, he literally walked on water. Imagine what must have been going on in Peter's head. He said he saw this thing, they coming towards him. They got freaked out. They thought it was a ghost or something like that. They're like, what is this? And then they realized, he said, it is I. Jesus declared, it is I. Take courage. It is me. Peter saw it, and Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out. And I'm just trying to imagine what his first thoughts going in his mind. As he stepped out, he had to still be somewhat fearful, but he's like, you know what? God said, come, I'm going to come. He steps out and he places his first foot down, then his next foot down. And he's literally walking on water. I mean, this is Peter, the fisherman, who grew up around the water. He knows this isn't possible. He knows that if I step on the water with both my feet and let go of the boat, I'm going to sink. I'm going to drop. Doesn't say whether he could swim or not, but you're in the middle of a storm in the ocean. So whether you're a swimmer or not, you're probably going to die. But he stepped out in the midst of the storm and the winds were blowing and the waves were crashing against the boat. He stepped out of the boat and he's standing there on the water. Literally standing on the water. Yes, he sees Jesus, but he also saw Jesus perform miracle after miracle. But here he is, I'm standing on water. I'm part of this miracle that is taking place right now. I'm involved in what God is doing. I'm involved in this miraculous sign, this miraculous thing. I'm walking on water. Peter stepped out of the boat and stepped into the miraculous. He was able to experience something unimaginable. He was able to experience something supernatural. When we step out of the boat, our safety, our familiarity, the known, we can step into the miraculous. Peter had to take the first step out of the boat to experience the miracle of walking on water. We need to be willing to step out of the boat to start experiencing these same miracles. If God calls you to step out, step out. If God tells you to come, come. And you can begin stepping into what he has for you. Imagine what would have happened if Peter never stepped out of the boat. Peter saw Jesus coming, and maybe he just didn't say anything. They realized it was Jesus, like, okay, and Jesus walked to the boat. That's great. Or maybe Jesus said, hey, come. And it's like, yeah, it's okay. I'll skip this time, God. I'm going to let pass the next person come up and get in that tube. No, he would have stayed in the boat. And Jesus came, and he called him. He didn't come. What would have happened? They still would have seen the miracle of Jesus walking on the water, right? It still would have been a story told thousands of years later. Jesus walking on water. It wasn't something just Jesus did every day that they saw. This was something incredible. This was something amazing. This was the miraculous. But if Peter had stayed in the boat and not stepped out, the disciples would have still witnessed an incredible miracle, but Peter would have missed out on the experiencing it firsthand. He would have missed out on what it really meant to follow God, to respond to God, to obey God, and see what God can do when you step out in faith. He experienced it firsthand. How often do I miss out on the miraculous because we're not willing to step out of the boat? We have the opportunity to experience God's miracles firsthand, but we need to be willing to step out of the boat and step in to the miraculous. Often the miraculous doesn't happen until we take that first step, until we take that step out of the boat, until we take that first step of faith and we step out. There's a story in Joshua where the miraculous didn't happen until they took that first step. God had a miracle in place. He had a plan, a way, but they needed to step out before they could experience it firsthand. In the same way Peter needed to step out before he could take part in that miracle, here the Israelites had to step out in faith before they could take part in the miracle. And in Joshua chapter 3, the Israelites had come to the Jordan River and they needed to cross over to get to the land God had promised them. The promised land of Canaan, right? Christine's son's name is going to be Canaan Emmanuel, right? All right. So they were, in order to cross over, they came to it, and guess what they found? It was flooded. It was high. It was impassable. And so we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 3, starting in verse 9. Joshua 3, verse 9, it says, let's read it off here. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Might have screwed those names up. Oh, well. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. Who? The Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, again, it's all the earth, rests in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. You on? So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water. They were dipped. They touched the water. For the Jordan overflows and its all its banks all the days of the harvest. So this flood, it was flood stage. The waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, so the people crossed opposite Jericho. They crossed on dry land. In verse 15, it says the water was high, it was swift, it was dangerous. It talks about the water. If you look at other translations, they explain it a little bit differently too. They say it was literally at flood level. Apparently the waters at that time when they were crossing are during harvest, they're at flood level. They're high. There's something you don't want to get near. They were dangerous. Have you ever been around floodwaters before? We have a cabin down along Huntington Creek, right down the road here. I'm sure lots of you guys have been there before, but when it gets, usually in the spring and sometimes the fall, we get a lot of rain and it gets flooded. And it comes up right up to the banks, and we usually pray that it doesn't come into the cabin. Normally it stays out, but once in a while it does. But it comes up to the banks, and when you go down there and you see the banks, you don't want to go even anywhere near those banks. Because if you take one wrong step, you'll get swept away. And you might never be seen again, at least alive. It's dangerous. Those waters are treacherous. They're flying by. You see trees flying by. You see logs going by. The water is rough. And this is when God called them to cross over into the promised land. When the waters were high, when it seemed like it might have been impossible to get to the other side. And that's usually when God does the miraculous. When it seems like we can't do it, well, he says, guess what? Yes, I can. But in verse 15 is talking about these waters. They're here. And how did they get across the water? They got across because God stopped the waters. But when did it happen? When the priest's feet dipped into the water. When their feet touched the water. If you've been around that flood stage, you can't touch the water without getting close. They couldn't just stand there and they say, okay, God, we're here, we're at the Nile, it's a little scary, so we're just gonna pray and wait for you to do your thing. No, he told them to step into the water. They could be there like, okay, God, I see the water, I'm watching the water, but I'm not touching the water. God wants us to step out in faith. It takes faith. It takes us saying, you know what, we are gonna step out even if it doesn't make sense. If God says come, come. The priest had to literally step into the floodwaters before the water stopped. They didn't wait for the waters to recede. The miraculous didn't happen until they stepped out of the safety, out of their safety, and into the water. God didn't part the water. He didn't stand the water still or up. And it says they crossed and dry land until they followed through with what he had told them. That passage we heard, God said, this is what needs to happen. And it didn't happen until they listened and obeyed. He said, the miraculous is going to happen, but first you need to step out in faith. Those first priests walking in, they might have been thinking as they're stepping in the water, okay, here it is. I'm about ready to go, and the whole ark's going to go with me, and that's the end of Israel. But they stepped in. They had that faith because God was who he said he was, and they believed God was who he said he was. Do you believe God is who he says he is to you? Do you believe he can dry that river in front of you? Do you believe he can help you walk on the water? Do you believe he can make the impossible happen? He wants to. He wants to show you the miraculous, but we need to be willing to step out. When he says, come, come. Are we willing to step out of the boat and into the unknown? Are we willing to leave our safety, our comfort, our familiarity, and step out? When we're stepping out, when we're willing to step out, we are able to step into the miraculous. We're able to step into what God truly has for us. A personal example of this happened just a few weeks ago for me. As most of you know, our basement church doors needed to be replaced, right? It's been a long process. We've had them since we built this building 20-some years ago. It was broken. They were smashed. We've repaired them again and again, and they were just falling apart. We actually had to have them, like, held shut so they didn't fall open.
And well, so we started looking around, and my dad asked me to check some around for some places. He checks for some places for pricing. And we found some pricings, and this place wanted $8,000 to come install for doors. This place wanted $6,000 or $7,000 to come in and install these doors. And we started looking around, and I just kept on feeling like, you know what? This is a lot of money to spend on doors. God, you can do something here. And when I prayed about it, I just didn't have a piece about any of them. And I felt like God was prompting me, keep on looking, Micah. Keep trusting me. So I just kept on looking. And then he brought in mind, he said, Micah, what about Facebook Marketplace? And I was like, Facebook Marketplace, okay. I had bought stuff off there, but I mean, these are doors. Who's going to have commercial doors that we need for down here? And I was like, okay, I can do that, God, too, but we don't even know what they are. So what? Most of the times you go on there, it's like, okay, you drive 4.5 hours here, you show up there, and the person doesn't show up. And hey, guess what? You just wasted 9 hours of your day. But I was like, okay, God, I'm going to do this. And I get online and I go on Facebook Marketplace and I say, type in steel metal commercial doors. And guess what comes up? A post. Somebody has them. They're like 30 hours away. No, they're 20 minutes away. They're in Bloomsburg. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It was like literally the top post of that came up when I typed in. I was like, okay, this is pretty cool, God. Okay, I'm going to click on it. I click on it. I start going through. I was like, okay, that's a reasonable price. It's not bad. It's a lot cheaper than what we were paying here. As long as he has a couple of them that maybe can make this work, we could possibly do this. We'll make this happen. So I reach out to the seller and I reach out, send a message. Hear back a little later. Yeah, I have some metal doors. Not ready to get rid of them yet. I was like, okay, well, that's right. We're not in a huge hurry. I mean, we don't have doors, but we would like them sooner than later. But can I at least come over and see them? And he was like, sure. So I say, okay, let's set up a time. And I think it was a Saturday. I was working in Bloom Saturday till 1. So I said, I can be there right around 1:15 or so. So I drive over there. I get to the mall, because that's where it was, Columbia Mall. I walk up to the door. This guy greets me. And guess who it was? Patrick, right over here. He greets me. I walk in. I've never met him before. Didn't know who he was. Didn't know if I could trust him. Didn't know if he was trying to swindle me. Didn't know anything about him at all. But I was like, hey, I hear you have some doors. Can you show me what you got? So he starts walking me around. He said, well, I have this one. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But do you have two of them? He said, yeah, I probably have two. I was like, okay, great. But I thought you had commercial doors that like were two. And he said, oh, yeah. So he walked me back and we looked at these. Like, well, yeah, those are interior. They won't work. He said, well, what about this? Can't you just take these two exterior metal doors that are fireproof, that are commercial quality, and just put them together? And you could probably get hardware to do it. I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. I didn't think of that. Thanks, whoever this guy was. I didn't know his name at then, but I was like, okay, whatever your name, I guess it's Patrick. Didn't really know him that well. And he said, okay, sure. So I said, let me check with the pastor. I'll check with him, see if it's something we want to do. So I talked to my dad. I said, hey, can we get used doors? Would that be a possibility? He said, if you think that's best, sure. If you think it's going to work and it's a good deal. I said, okay. So I start talking, messaging back and forth like you do on Facebook Marketplace. Finally set up a time to come down. And I was like, okay, I'm going to drive down there on Friday. So I drive down there on Friday with my daughter. We walk into the mall. He meets me. He says, I got these doors. He takes me back. We look at these doors. And he says, there you are. And I'm like, okay, cool. How do we get them out? And he's like, you just cut them out. It's like, cut them out? You want me to, like, literally, yeah, you said you brought the Sawzall with you, right? I said, yeah. So we start literally cutting through his mall to pull the door out. I was like, this is crazy. He said, oh my goodness. But he's like, okay. And I'm cutting and there's like a wire here. I was like, I guess I should probably stay a little here. So I cut it out and we pull it out and he doesn't just watch. He jumps in and starts helping me. He starts getting out. He is such a blessing. He starts helping me get the door out. We get the door out. We go to the other one. I learned to stay a little closer to the door so I don't cut through as many metal studs and destroy them all as much. But we get a little better. We improve. And basically, long story short, we get the doors. He helps us load them up. And we end up with a new set of doors for our basement at an incredible deal. We're not paying $8,000. We're not paying $6,000. He blessed us amazingly. And we come home. We have these doors. And then he says, writes back and says, hey, you want those carpet too? He showed me some carpet. We're there. I guess so. He blesses our church with carpet for the Sunday school room. And then before we left, he was like, so what time are your services on Sunday? I said, well, at 10 o'clock. He said, I'll be there. I was like, okay, cool. This was Saturday. It's like, okay, Friday. I said, okay, I'll see you in a couple days. Not really knowing if it would really happen. He seemed like a nice guy, but sure, we'll see. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, I'll show up on church on Sunday. Sunday morning comes, and Patrick walks in the door. I was about, what, three weeks ago, I think. Yeah, this is your third Sunday. 3 weeks ago. I acted upon the prompting of saying, God saying, hey, why don't you check on Facebook Marketplace?
And I stepped out and said, okay, we're going to try this. And what happened? The miraculous happened. Not only did we get the doors at an amazingly good price, so you can talk to Patrick about that later if you want, but we also got carpet for the new Sunday school room. And most importantly, we got Patrick. We got Patrick here for the last 3 weeks, which is, he's been incredible just getting to know him. He's been an encouragement to me. Patrick just, he messaged me throughout the last couple of weeks. He's texting me, just checking up on me. He's saying, hey, he's sharing this, bouncing questions off me. I'm getting, not only that, but I'm getting a friend, great friend, out of it. Now, my security when I was in my boat was like, you know what? It would have been a lot easier for me just to spend the money and get the new doors. It would have probably been a lot less time for me to just spend the money and get somebody else install the doors. But when I prayed about it, there wasn't a peace. And whether it was because these doors are perfect or our building or not, it was what God was showing me. And what happened? We got Patrick out of the deal. We were blessed beyond our imagination. Plus, we got another brother in Christ in Patrick to be able to join us and encourage us and bless us. When we step out of our security, when we step out and say, you know what, this would be easier, but God is calling me to step out, God will amaze you and I. He will amaze us. Are we willing to step out? Are we willing to say, you know what? I'm going to surrender my all to you, God. I'm going to step out because I want to see you work, and it's that it's you and not me. Step out of the boat and step in to the miraculous. Meeting Patrick might not be walking on water, but to me, it's the miraculous seeing God at work. God might be calling you to do something, and you might be like, oh, well, that was great. See the miracle in it. See what God is doing, because there is so much more that you can't imagine, and you might not see it at once. It might not be like you stepping out of the boat, and it's like, wow, I'm literally walking on water. But he might just be having you step out into a place in your life, a new place in your life, or stepping out in some area, and he is going to amaze you. It might not be right at first. It might be days, weeks, months, years down the road. But as you step out, God will meet you. Step out of the boat and step in to the miraculous. The very end of our key passage, Matthew 14, verse 33 says this, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are truly God's son. The miraculous revealed to them, that miracle revealed to them who Jesus really was. This was the first time the disciples worshiped and acknowledged that he was the Son of God. It says they literally worshiped him. This is the first time it's written that they worshiped Jesus. They saw who he was. They saw he was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And they got down and they worshiped him and said, you truly are the Son of God. When we step out of the boat, not only does it build our faith, it helps us grow, and it reveals to us how truly amazing and awesome God is. When we step out of the boat, we can step in to the miraculous. In closing, I want to remind you of a couple things. Number one, no matter how scary it might seem or how big the waves might look, we can have confidence in knowing that when Christ calls us to come, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Peter's example in Matthew 14, 33, it said, but seeing the wind, he became frightened, and then he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And what happened? Jesus watched him sink. No, it says Jesus immediately, immediately Jesus reached out with his hand and took hold of him. Even when we mess up, even when we take our eyes off of him, he is always there to pull us back to safety. When he says, come, come. If you start sinking, it's right, God is there. He's gonna bring you back to the boat, teach you some more, and have you get back out of the boat again. And you fall again, it's right, he's gonna pick you back up. You fall, you get back up. God is there with you. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Kind of like Peter, he held up, just imagine him holding him out, his righteous right hand, he pulled him back out of that water. In the same way God reached to Peter and pulled him back to safety, he will be there for us as we take that step of faith and step out of the boat and into the unknown. He will uphold us with his righteous right hand. We can step out of the boat knowing that he is our Lord and he will never leave you nor forsake you. So what is your boat? Where are you at right now? Are you willing to step out of the boat when he calls? If he says, come, are you willing to go? Are you willing to let go of that place of safety, comfort, and familiarity in order to follow him and where he leads? It could be your job. It's not that he might be not calling you out of your job, but what is he calling more out of you in your job? Maybe there's somebody you're supposed to reach out to, and that's scary. Step out and speak to them. That's something God's been doing in my life. I have somebody at work that I've worked with for 20-some years, and I'm still being called to go deeper and deeper. The other day, he gave me a hug. I don't remember in 20 years him ever giving me a hug before, but he gave me a hug because I stepped out and I showed him I cared. I reached out to him, and he got teary-eyed and gave me a hug. You don't know what's going to happen when you step out in faith, when you step out into the unknown. God will meet you. Maybe it's in a relationship. God wants you to step out. I know there's times that we've had to step out and say things that aren't easy to say, whether it's with our kids or with a relative or maybe just with a friend. But if God is calling you to reach out and speak into their lives or say something, he says, do it, do it. If you're questioning it, make sure, say, God, does this align with your word? Yes, then do it. If your question is, say, Pastor Jess, this is what I'm feeling like I'm supposed to do. Should I do it? Pray with you? Yes. Respond when he says, come. If it's your finances, step out in faith, God will meet you. If it's your priorities, step out in faith, he will meet you. It can be scary, but when we do what he has called us to do, we can know that by stepping out in that complete surrender, that faith, we can experience the miraculous. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for giving us your son, your only son. Father God, you sacrificed all by allowing him to come down to earth and to be abused, to be spit at, to be scorned. I can imagine doing that with one of my kids. I can't imagine what that must have felt like. But you did it, Father God, because you love us. And Lord Jesus, you sacrificed all. You gave up everything. Your word says, not my will, but your will be done, Father God. You spoke that to your Father, and you followed through. Lord, I prayed that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord. As we step out of our boats, as we step into what you have called us to do, as you say, come, that we would come, Lord Jesus. That we would have the faith to say, you know what? I want you to be in control, Lord. And we know, Jesus, that you are in control. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you are faithful. And you will see us through. And you will pick us back up when we fall. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming, everyone.